morning, everybody, and welcome to Queen's Sunday morning adult discussion Sunday school. And let's see, Debbie is a good prayer. Would you start us in a word of prayer? Thank you. I love it when Debbie prays.
Father, we thank you for this day and for all you mean to us in it.
Yes.
Father, we just bless you, and we're here to hear from your people. And we have our ears open today.
Yes.
So, Lord, just feed us. You need know what we need.
Yes.
Amen. Bless Kathy.
Amen. Amen, everybody. Well, there's some discussion about where we stopped last week.
I don't know why, but I got it marked like 11.
Yes. And that's what when we first opened up, we said, let's read through 11. Or nine even. And Debbie read it. Oscar gave her the book, and Debbie read it out of the Amplified, because our Amplified readers weren't here. And we read through the ninth, and then I said something about, oh, look, it goes on a little bit further. Let me just pick up on here. So I think we should stop about, let's just start around 11 and see where it takes us, and if there's anything from 11 on that we would like.
Seven.
1 Corinthians chapter 7. We're going to start at verse 11.
I'm sitting here waiting on him.
I was actually waiting for her to look up.
And maybe let's just start at 10, because
that's right.
Start at 10.
Yeah.
But to the married people, see y'all, you're just doing that. Our anniversary was the 10th.
Oh.
But to the married people, I give charge, not I, but the Lord, that the wife is not to be separate from her husband. But if she does separate from him, divorce him, let her remain single or else be reconciled to her husband. And I charge the husband also that he should not put away or divorce his wife. Now, before we go any further, I have questions about that.
Mm-hmm.
Since, how do we interpret that we as Christians that have been divorced? I look at it like, I don't know, sometimes I look at marriage, some things have not been of God, but in that God does forgive us.
For our bad choice of a partner?
For our choices, yes. And that he does, forgive us.
Mm-hmm.
And then, because I know without a doubt that God brought me in, and y'all probably know with each one of y'all's marriages, mm-hmm. that God brought, me and Buddy together.
Mm-hmm.
He'd been in California 30 years, I knew his family. This story is such a story. I could do a little Hallmark.
little Christmas.
On that.
Christmas,
oh, yes.
Hallmark Christmas story, and the wedding will be on December 10th. Right before.
And we dated for 4 years.
Yeah.
And I was friends with his family, his sisters, all those years. Because he lived next door to me when we were in the first grade. We were talking about that yesterday.
So
in the first grade. And I had a crush on him. I liked him, but he said, he didn't think about liking him well.
Mm.
I said, I did. I liked him when I was in the first grade. Yeah. And then always been friends, but see, separate way and all. But I mean, how things have went through the years and that. So, Brother Oscar, I want to know what you have to say on that. Since you were never divorced, or your wife, and we all have been, I think you didn't either. Neither has you. Have you? Have you?
No, Clyde Debbie.
You know, I like what Thurl Dean says. Can I quote him?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Thurl Dean says, yeah, I've never thought of divorce. Murder? Yes, but
yeah.
Divorce? No. I mean, he kind of gets a kick of saying that.
Yeah, we were just
but I'm going like
that.
Yeah, one
morning.
Of these days, she's going to kick you.
Okay, that's all.
But when he left her, when they went up, were on trip, And then to know that she was still asleep on the back seat.
That's where he thought she was.
He went in, yeah. And then when he came back, he got in the car and just drove off. She had gotten out and went into the restroom. And I said, now she needs to add on there. I never thought of, you know, murder, yes, but not divorce. And he said, she said, she should say, but to leave you left behind, she needs to add this one.
Yeah, there should have been one, thou shalt not leave thy wife behind.
Yes.
At the gas station.
Yeah, right.
A poor woman with no purse.
Yeah.
No such things as cell phones. No.
Well, as cute as Charlene was, she probably just had somebody that laid her phone or something, and they probably let her. She was getting.
She called the highway patrol.
Lady.
Yes.
Find my husband.
That's sweet.
I think he got maybe a couple hundred miles or so down the road.
It was
or something.
4 hours each way.
He was a long way away. Because he
praise
thought she was
God
laying in the back
found.
Of sleep.
I never looked my goodness. Never looked back and checked on her.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
But I want to know what you think of that.
He learned the lesson.
Before we go
where did we stop?
I dropped it all. I stopped at
well,
I did 10, 11. I was getting ready to
yes,
from
a wife edge.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, let me
stand
tell you.
Those kind of trip.
How I feel about that. All right. And here's how I feel about that. What? When I hit, you know, one of the vows that you give when you marry somebody. Mm-hmm. Is, and sometimes you say this, but you don't say it all the time, but a lot of preachers say this when they're marrying people. What the Lord has joined together, let no man put asunder.
All right.
Now, I believe there's times when God didn't join you together with somebody else. You joined you together
right.
with somebody
a
else.
Bit.
And when
yeah.
you joined yourself with somebody else, you know, it wasn't necessarily of God, you know what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying, and I believe that you know God's got the right person for you out there, and you know, do I think that people should just marry and divorce all the time? You know the way nowadays, my goodness,
Hollywood. Yeah.
I mean, I've had people. Well, I did a wedding one time for a brother-in-law, and their song they were going to dance to was. If it don't work out, then we can say goodbye. And I'm thinking, oh my God, what kind of song is that to be singing at your wedding? You know that, but it was Gene Hughes, you know, local guy. But it was Mark's brother. But if it don't work out, then we can say goodbye. And I thought, what the Lord?
So they didn't mean those vows.
Well, but they did stay married. You know, and this was his second marriage. They were married for a long time. Until he passed away, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh my God, I was thinking, boy, that's not the science of song you want to be singing. but I honestly have the feeling that when the Lord joins you to the right person, then that's the right person. And I think there is times when I don't think people should stay together if they can't get along or if they mistreat each other or any of that stuff. I don't think God would want you to stay with somebody, you know. And I mean, technically, let's be honest. We have people a lot of times nowadays who don't get married and they live together, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And don't get married in the eyes of the law. As far as I'm concerned, when you commit yourself to somebody and you consummate that commitment, you're married. Whether you want to say you're married or you don't want to say you're married, because that's the consummation of it. That's how you,
mm-hmm.
you know, but my feelings on that is, like I say, I feel like there are a lot of people who the Lord has not joined you together with that person.
Mm-hmm.
You joined yourself together with that person and it was a big mistake. Now,
mm-hmm. don't you believe
that's
so?
More or less my feelings on that. I'm not telling you that's scriptural. I'm not telling you anything. I'm just telling you that's the way I felt about it personally. And I don't heap condemnation on somebody over having been married before. I mean, there's people. Funny thing about it was we had years ago. We had one of the elders in the church get upset because somebody was doing something in the church and they had been married before. you know. This woman was married to an elder, you know, and she had been married before. So I was thinking, where is that coming from, you know? I mean, this was a lot of years ago, you know, but I was thinking, where is that coming from? That like that person shouldn't be ministering at all because they had been married before, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And her husband hadn't been married before, but she had been married before, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, how do you balance that out? If you're going to put condemnation on that person, shouldn't you be putting condemnation on your own household? Isn't that what you're doing? I mean, you know. But, you know, I think it's sort of like Paul said in a couple of places. He said, when he talked about women being in subjection to their husband and all that mm-hmm. stuff, in a couple of places he'd say, like, if this, almost like if this is too offensive to you, we have no such custom. You know, because a lot of these things were custom.
Yes.
But I do believe that, you know, that when you commit yourself to someone, you should follow that commitment, you know. And but I think there's a lot of young people who get married to people when they make a huge mistake. It's not the right person. They marry for the wrong reason. And, you know.
I believe that some people have got married and it wasn't, but they were in love.
Yeah.
But they became in love with one another. I think
yeah.
that show, Love Comes Softly, he did a
yeah.
whole series of that.
Yeah.
And they married out of her husband. They had just got to the land out there, you know, out west. And his horse, stump fell, and he died. She's young. And there was no stagecoach nowhere. You know, they had to come, and the man that found buried him. And then the other man, his wife had died and had a little girl, and he wanted his little girl
yeah.
to experience. But they didn't live as married. They took the vows and lived, and he did not live in that place. He lived in another part of another building outside.
Mm-hmm.
But Charles gave me that the first time I ever saw it, and he just cried. He said when he saw that show and all, he just saw the love between.
That
know.
Was a whole series of shows.
It was. It went all the
yeah.
way
through. I think I saw some of those.
Oh, the first
too.
One was
Love
Comes Softly.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So
that was the best.
And yes, and I can just see God giving you, and I can see people that don't love one another, or maybe have grown to hate one another, that God can, if they're willing,
mm-hmm.
can fill their hearts, you know, can fill them with love for the other, you know, person.
Well, think about this one too. Now, if you're getting technical about things as far as in the Old Testament,
mm-hmm.
Men had more than one wife.
Yeah,
you know, they had sometimes many, but you know, one of the things that the Lord said to them in the Old Testament, He said, when you come into the land and you reject me as being your king, which he knew they were going to do that. And he said, see that you don't take to yourself horses and wives. You know, like a bunch of wives and a bunch of horses. Because that horses meant that you know, that was a sign of strength, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so what did Solomon and them do after they became king?
They took unto
them. They did exactly what the Lord told them not to do.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
And what was Solomon's big downfall?
His wives.
All those wives. Because they were pagans and stuff. A lot of them were pagans and stuff like that. And they actually perverted him over into some of that. And that was
I just had questions on that because I know this, you know, divorce.
Yeah.
And there was a girl I worked with, and she had been married before. So had he, and they both were divorced, and she's the sweetest Christian.
Yeah.
She read the scripture, and he wanted to marry her, and she wanted to marry him, and they didn't know what to do
right.
because of that word.
Yeah.
And I told them to pray about it and talk to, and they got a minister that talked to them and
mm-hmm.
evidently explained that they did not feel that they would be in sin if they
right.
married one another.
Right.
And they have a beautiful marriage and another child, and they're really beautiful. I have worked with her before.
You know, the bloom is off of most of us.
And I can say honestly,
what'd she say?
That you don't.
The bloom is off of most of us.
Yeah, you wear yourself.
Oh, I can honestly, older than you. I can honestly say that I don't think that
I agree with you.
I don't think that I understood the mystery of marriage as being a mystery of Christ in the church, how Christ died and gave him. But the older you get and the more experienced your marriage gets,
the sweeter it gets.
Yes. And I mean, I can say for myself at my age, not only at my age, because of the wonderful sweetie that God gave me, I could no more think of leaving him for anything in the world.
I can
you
see.
You can smile for me.
With me, I look at with me and Buddy, and sometimes I said, oh boy, I had to repent so many times with my attitude, with how I He's sweet, quiet.
He gets sweet.
He is.
Sweet.
I bet there's times he's thought of murder.
Look at him.
You see him shaking.
He told me a while back that he gave all of his guns away.
I know, because he didn't trust himself with me.
Yeah, but he kept the knives.
He didn't say why. He didn't say why he gave away. He just said he gave away.
It's after he's married to me.
No, you were lucky.
Yeah.
You know,
I gave away before I met.
Yeah, you did.
Do you want to read on a little more? Or we
yes, I am. Yes. But I have questions about that.
I feel like sometimes when people have joined together, it wasn't really the Lord joining them mm-hmm. together. And I feel like that,
that attitude, Oscar, is from having a relationship with God. The other attitude is from having a relationship with church rules.
Rules, that's law.
Rules.
The law.
And the law
is always going to put you in an awkward position.
Yeah. It's really despicable to me that one man would really judge another.
All right. To the rest, I declare, I, not the Lord, for Jesus did not discuss this. That if any brother has a wife who does not believe in Christ and she consents to live with him, that he should not leave or divorce her. And if any woman has an unbelieving husband and he consents to live with her, that she should not leave or divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is set apart, separated, withdrawn from heathen contamination, and affiliated with the Christian people, and by union with his consecrated, set apart wife. And the unbelieving wife is set apart and separated through union with their consecrated husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean and unblessed heathen outside the Christian covenant. But as it is, they are prepared for God, pure and clean. But if the unbelieving partner actually leaves, well, let him do so. In such cases, the remaining brother or sister is not morally bound, but God has called us to peace. For a wife, how can you be sure of converting and saving your husband? Husband, how can you be sure of converting and saving your wife? Only let each one seek to conduct himself and regulate his affairs so as to lead the life which the Lord has allotted and imparted to him, to which God has invited and summoned him. This is my order in all the churches. And he said it wasn't God, this is I. You know, he said that.
Right.
That was 17, right?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Did you have something you want to say?
Huh? Yeah, last week I said I thought we weren't kind of reading it right or accepting it right. Where you remember where I'm trying to think. It says here in this, I got the Living Bible.
All right, so
now for those who are married, I have a command, not just a suggestion. Now this is Paul speaking, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it says, and it is not a commandment from me, for this is what the Lord himself said. A wife must not leave her husband. Mm-hmm. But I understand the reasons why. But if she is separated from him, I think this was put in here to so you wouldn't be condemned about it. Yeah. But if a lady, if a woman is separated from him, let her remain single. Otherwise, you know, separation, you know, that in some cases that might be a divorce. In some cases it might be a cane over the head. I mean, what's causing the separation? You know, mm-hmm. abuse or whatever.
No.
I mean, I would never have anyone say, stay in that, work it out. Well, mm-hmm. I don't know if you can work it out if you ain't breathing.
A
I mean,
lot of them have been told that, though.
Yeah. But I agree with him. I actually think marriage, since it's same as a man loving his wife, is the same as Christ loving the church. Mm-hmm. With a man, that falls on the man. That don't fall on the woman. I know there's certain things that you guys can do, mm-hmm. but the man's supposed to act like that his life is yours.
Well, Christ gave himself completely for the church.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And really, to be honest with you, any man who loves his family or his wife would give his life for his family or his wife. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. I would rather someone hurt me than hurt Margaret.
Sure.
You know? Mm-hmm. And I mean, if you love somebody, I think that's the attitude you're going to take, you know.
You know, it's just like the man, the scriptures say that the man should prefer her, and I mean, I know it says that about the woman too, but should prefer her in the ability, like, if he's a working man, he gets out and works, he's supposed to take care of his family before he does the neighbor. I mean, there's a word for that, and the world's talking about that word all the time out there. It calls America a bunch of infidels. Well, we might not like it, but if you look the word up, we probably almost live that. We're an example of that. Shame on us. We're an example of that. But what I was going to say on down here where it says, what was I telling you, 17? Mm-hmm. It says, listen to this. This comes out of 16. For after all, there are no assurances to you wives that your husbands will be converted if they stay. And the same may be said to your husband concerning your wives. But then it goes on and says, it brings up the children. The children are supposed to have examples in front of them that live a Christian life. Otherwise, their salvation, and it does say this, mm-hmm. it talks about their salvation down there. Mm-hmm. It says, this, how are they to obtain salvation if they don't see it from mom and dad or whatever? And I see where all this confusion is. I mean, you know, you got this mix and that mix and this mix and that mix. Well, who, especially if they're not yielding to God, who's an authority in that? I'd say if there are four different families, every one of them's got a head. Mm-hmm. And none of them are Christ. Mm-hmm. So what are they doing to the children? Confusing the heck out of them.
Yeah.
And you sure can't expect the teachers at school to correct them.
No.
Mm-hmm. Years ago, I got called to school and the teacher said, well, I want to know why you won't let us discipline your children. I said, discipline my children? I said, you mean like take a paddle to them and stuff? Because I never would give them permission. Mm-hmm. They go, yeah. I said, well, I'm just going to tell you like I feel it. And she goes, yeah. I said, I don't know what spirit you're of. I don't know who you are. I'm not sure if you were abused as a kid growing up. I'm not sure if you do drugs on the weekend. I don't know you. Mm-hmm. I said, who I do know is their mother and me.
Yeah.
I said, and by the way, do they need discipline? Well, no. I said, well, now you know why. Mm-hmm. She looked at me and smiled and said, you'll never be asked that question again. But I didn't mean to offend her, no, but I was telling her the truth. I was telling her the abiding thing that we live by. We know each other. Scripture says, know those that labor among you.
Yeah.
Who would you, and that's kind of scary in today's life. Mm-hmm. Who in the world would you turn over to your children over to? And I hate to say it, but it's coming prevalent to all these preschool things and stuff like that. You don't know those people.
Yeah. And look at some of the things you've seen us happen.
Yeah, I mean, some of the things that they're taping and stuff like that.
Oh, Jesus.
I mean, And to be honest with you, if we really got down and prayed about it and asked the Holy Spirit to convict those that are guilty, he'd be convicting us because we didn't look into it enough. We didn't go and take our time and test this place out and check them. And you know what? The biggest responsibility we have is not only just as couples, but as mom and dad, is to protect our children. That's the biggest thing we have.
I know when I was in grade school, the worst whipping I got in my life was by a principal. Mm-hmm. And when I had kids, no, you don't spank my kids. Mm-hmm. Let me know. Mm-hmm. I'll correct.
You know, I worked with a guy, and they called him up to school because his brother's son, you know, was acting up a lot. And he took him in the bathroom at school.
The uncle
and wore him out. The father actually took him in the bathroom, mm-hmm, and wore him out. Well, they called the police on the father.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I mean, you know, for correcting his kid. Kid got in trouble again. They called him up there. He went up there. He said, "Don't you touch him. Don't you do a thing to him." He said, "Because if I can't correct him, you can't correct him."
Yes, for sure.
And he told him, he said, "I'll sue you. I'll have you in court and I'll sue you if you lay a hand on him." He said, I've come up here trying to straighten him up so that he wouldn't act up in school. And he said, "And then you call the police on me and have me arrested for abusing my kid." I mean, he took him in the bathroom and he wore him out. I mean, you know. And you know, but see, you can't have it both ways. Mm-hmm. But I will say this now: a lot of parents nowadays don't correct their children, and the Scripture says, "Spare the rod, and spoil the child." You know, and there's a difference between being abusive and straightening a kid up. Mm-hmm. Now, when I was a kid, my mother was a Christian, and you've seen her; she was a little lady. She wasn't very. She was pretty. You know, she was about 5 foot, if she was that tall. But when we got in trouble, I mean, she got right on us. She wore us out. I mean, she gave us a whipping with a belt. You know, she didn't. I mean, they were from down in Kentucky, where they get a switch off a tree. You talk about getting the worst whipping you could ever get. Well, that's with a switch, because that thing will cut you and stuff.
Especially if you ain't got no t-shirt on.
But you know, she'd take a belt, and I mean, she'd give you a good whipping with a belt. And I can remember last time I think I got a whipping. I think 13, 14 years old. I was bigger than her, you know, because I was kind of like Sammy. I was tall, you know, tall for my age back then. And she hit me with the belt buckle, you know, somehow. Well, I clenched my fist, you know. I didn't hit her or anything, but I doubled up my fist because it made me so mad. Boy, she lit into me and she said, "You unclenched that fist," and she beat the fire out of me. You know? And you know what? I got very few whippings in my life, but every one I got, I deserved it. I mean, I got in trouble, I was mean. I did stuff I wasn't supposed to do. She got called to school for me when I was a kid, different times, because when I had that epilepsy, you know, it kind of made me go around with a chip on my shoulder because I had some seizures in school. And boy, if anybody said anything to me back then, the fight was on. We were gonna fight, you know, and that's what it amounted out to back then. And you know, my sister, I told you, my younger sister, which she was older than me, but my younger sister wouldn't go to school hardly. And man, mother had to go to work early in the morning, and she'd come back later in the day. She worked about 5 o'clock at night. And my sister would go, leave like she was going to school, and then come back home. And there was nobody there, you know. And she wouldn't go to school. And mother, she beat the fart out of her trying to get her to go to school. And she said she whipped her one time. She put welts on her. I mean, she whipped the fart out of her. And she said, "I went and prayed." And she said, "I cried. I said, Lord, please fix it. Or I don't have to whip this kid no more." And Sandra started getting sick after that. She was sick from then up till the day she died, she was always sick. Yep. She'd have one thing wrong with her, she'd get over that, she'd get something else. And Mother told me one time later on, years later, she said, watch what you pray for, because God's liable to give it to you.
Yeah.
And she said, that cost me a fortune with Sandra, you know, going back, taking her to the doctor. And it was legitimate. I mean, she was literally sick. And even when she died, before she died, she used to lose blood. And she'd have to get transfusions about once every 6 weeks. They'd have to give her a transfusion. Mm-hmm. They never could find out where that blood went in her, you know, what was making her have to lose blood like that. And, I mean, she was about 70, 78 when she died, but I mean, she was always sick. She'd have laryngitis, she'd have this, she'd have that, she'd have tonsillitis, she had just something all the time, you know, and just constantly sick. But Mother said, she said, I prayed and said, Lord, please fix it. And she was about 14, 15 years old, and they finally told her, just take her out of school. So she's never here anyway. Mm-hmm. You know,
and,
so
then she was sick. She had a legitimate reason for not going.
Yeah, yeah. You know, well, and she get out and get a job. She got a job running the elevator at Pogue's. They used to have them people in the elevator that were in the elevator. And she worked, but she was always sick. There was always something wrong with her, you know, constantly.
I wanted to say something what his mom said. I think it was at your other sister's graduation.
Mm-hmm.
She said, Clyde, go over and pray for my daughter. And I said, and she said, yeah. I said, okay. Well, she wasn't looking at us. So I went over there and I said, you care if I pray with you? She said, well, no. And then after I got done praying, she said, Mom sent you over here, didn't she? I go, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I'm sure she lived her life as part of, I wish I'd never ever said anything like that. But you know what? But God... that's a teaching tool right there. God honors his word above his name.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you know, better be careful what you ask. I tell you what, I don't think we sing loud enough the praises of God of what he answers and every time that he takes care of us in situations that he spared us from.
Yes.
Accidents on the highway, everything.
Yeah.
I mean, people just don't have it. We ought to be leading the way and breathing in Jesus and shouting joy for him all the time.
Yes, amen.
Every day. We ought to be so happy that we know him. I mean, I know you see miserable people all the time, but when you see people that don't even think they have a chance because they're not worthy, well, they're humble.
Yeah.
Tell me God can't work with the humble. He'll work with the humble. He'll raise them up. But I mean, you know, a lot of times we're going to fight the fact, God, I just pray that your will be done. And what we need to pray is, I ask that your will be done and us that remain be able to accept it. Because we don't know the entire will of God. I mean.
We know Clyde, my brother, I think the last time she gave him a whipping, he was probably about 15 or so, maybe. And he was big. I mean, he was... my brother was, you guys have seen him when he was little. He used to be pretty stocky. He was pretty big. He always weighed way over 200 pounds, you know. He was a big, big guy. And, you know, she gave him a whipping when he was about 15 years old. I don't remember what he did, but he did something. He deserved it, you know. And he started telling her, he was leaving home. He was going to go. She said, well, I'll give you $20 and see you later.
Bye.
You know, and let me tell you, that sounds harsh, but my mother did without to make sure we had things. I always dressed better than most of the kids in our neighborhood because she'd go with a raggedy coat to make sure we had a good coat, you know, and stuff like that. And she always put herself last as far as that was concerned, you know. And you know, but he didn't leave home.
He
didn't leave home, and you know, that was the thing. I think the Lord made her be stricter with me and him than she was later on, because we didn't have our father. My father died when I was 4, and he was like almost 7 when my father died, and you know. she was father and mother both. Yeah, she had to be the corrector and the loving mother too at the same time. But I mean, you know, when we got in trouble with school, she didn't go up there and fuss with them or nothing like that. She'd go find out what we did, and then we was in trouble when we got home, you know. And I mean, I got paddled a few times in school, you know, but you know, but
Oscar, did your mother find the Lord before or after your dad died?
My mother was about it was after he died. She was about I was about probably about 5 when she gave her life to the
right
Lord.
After.
So mm-hmm. my dad died when I was 4. Mm-hmm. So and she never did remarry. Mother was a real pretty woman. I mean, she was very pretty.
She was very pretty.
But she didn't, you know, she didn't go out with anybody or anything like that. And I mean, she pretty much devoted herself to taking care of us, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but I couldn't have had a better mother. I mean, you know, I couldn't have had a better mother than her, you know.
Yeah, I think there's something to what Clive said about be careful who you allow to discipline your children.
Yeah.
But children need to learn.
Yeah.
But they need to be disciplined with love when they're
right.
children. Because when you grow up, there is no love in the law.
No.
There's only retaliation, you know. And so when you train up a child and you discipline them with love, you're probably saving them from a lot of torture and sadness. I don't mean that torture.
Well, if you discipline your children at home, they learn to submit to authority.
Mm-hmm.
And if you teach them to submit to authority, they'll submit to authority out in the world as long as
mm-hmm.
it isn't over the top, you know.
And plus, when you do, your children already know whether you love them or not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and I think
you got these parents now that try to raise their kids by this man's book, you know,
yeah.
And they do it with love, but like Oscar said, you know, you don't want to spare the rod to a child.
Right.
It's better to correct, you know.
Well, look at
some of the kids now.
That's a misconception, and I'll tell you why. Because I was listening to a lawyer talk one time, and he said, what you need to do is whatever the laws are in your area, he said, you need to find out what the law is. And he says, if you spank your child or you correct them, he said, if a policeman comes and he wants to arrest you, you need to quote him the law.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, when you quote him the law, he'll back off.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, he will take you and arrest you, you know. He said, because there's nothing that says that you can't correct your children. There's nothing that says that you can't spank them or anything like that. Now, you
mm-hmm.
can't abuse them. You can't whack them over the head with a board or nothing like
mm-hmm.
that. But you can correct your children. Now, I agree with what Andy's brother said when he went to the school. He told them, he said, if I can't correct him,
mm-hmm.
then don't you correct him.
That's right.
And he said, and I will sue you if you do. That's what he told them. He said, because he said, I'm trying to straighten him up, and then you're trying to give me a hard time for trying to straighten him up. And it's one of those things. I like that. I can't remember his name. The judge that was over in used to be over in Avondale. He was a famous black judge
yes.
around here, and he was a lawyer. He used to have them advertisements.
You need me, you call.
Call me, yeah. And I can't remember what his name was right offhand. But when he became a judge, they.
Hello.
Isaiah Gaines,
yeah, that's who it was, Isaiah Gaines.
Leslie Isaiah
Gaines, right. He was actually was in there with Bill Cunningham and them in the same law firm.
Mm.
Bill Cunningham was in there with him before he became a judge. But when he became a judge, when they brought kids before him and their parents corrected them, he turned loose. He told them, you know, I mean, there was a difference if they abused them. No, he wouldn't. But he'd say, I'm not gonna, charge you for straightening your kid up or correcting him. you know, he set them free, you know. Mm-hmm. Because it's crazy. If they don't learn one way, you know, I got news for you. If you spank your kids when they're little, you won't have to spank them when they get older.
That's true.
They understand
and they know
that there's there's authority that goes with that. Mm-hmm. There's consequences, you know what I mean.
You got kids nowadays that if you spank them, they'll call the police on you and all that.
And you know what I tell them? If I had a kid that was going to do that, I'd say, you know what you can do? You can go live with somebody else. Mm-hmm. You want to go live with somebody else? You want to go live in a foster home? Mm-hmm. See you later. Mm-hmm. You know? I mean, that sounds hard, but you know what? That's the alternative there.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you teach a kid from the time they're real little, you won't have that problem. They ain't going to call nobody, you know, if you spank them.
Yeah.
You know, there's a difference between spanking a kid and abusing them, you know, and, you know.
There was a church in Springfield where Betty and I went for a time period, and I was a teacher in Sunday school.
Mm-hmm.
Needed a background check on you that you couldn't come in there and teach someone. Plus, they talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
I believe both of those are important because they should know where you are spiritually.
Yeah.
And also where you are under the law, morally, under, you know, the law. But they did, and there was a guy that went there, started dating this girl, and she started coming in, sitting in on my class.
Yeah.
And was taking, the preacher went by, and she had taken, you know, was, I sat down, I'm gonna argue with her. She started just like taking over, like she was the teacher making suggestions. And he come back by and he signaled. He went and talked to the guys. The guy was going to church there. And he talked to him about her and then bringing her that her, like, which they ended up doing for us because they really didn't know her. But he talked to her and he told her, it's fine for you to sit in. But we don't know who you are or anything about you, so you have no authority to be teaching these children or adding anything to, because they didn't know, she was from Columbus, they didn't know anything about her.
Yeah.
And he told her, well, I don't mind you sitting in there, but Brenda is the teacher. We know her. You know, you know, spiritually, because we went there for a while. And I taught Sunday school and vacation Bible school like that, because I just love children and work with them. And she sat a couple of Sundays, then she didn't come in no more because she wanted to have input with these children. And he said, this is having input in these children's lives.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't agree with it. He said,
well, you know, when I was younger, I taught children's church. You know, mm-hmm. I taught like that.
Tobias had
from
you.
10 to about 12 or 13 or whatever it was. And then
they went out of Tobias loved him.
Yeah. And we had, and I I'll tell you who it is because he went to be with the Lord. He's not around anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But Levi was in there, you know,
mm-hmm.
Miles' son.
Yeah.
Levi was a pistol. I mean, he was always trying to, he was not very obedient. But, you know, I don't know if Miles and them didn't correct him at all or what. They must not have, because he was just very disorderly and very always messing around. And I'll tell you exactly how I handled Levi. He kept goofing up, and I said, Levi, you need to knock it off, you know, because we were trying to teach and stuff, and he was, you know, being disruptive and all that kind of stuff. And then I said, let's me and you go out in the hall and talk to you. And I took him out in the hall, and I said, now here's the deal, buddy. I said, either you straighten up, or I'm going to take you downstairs. We're going to walk right out into the assembly with them preaching and everything else, and I'm going to sit you down right next to your dad. And then when he says to me what's going on, I'm going to say he was being very disruptive in the class and he wouldn't mind or wouldn't behave himself. And I said, that's going to be embarrassing for you. It's going to be embarrassing for your dad. And it's not going to be embarrassing for me at all.
Mm-hmm.
I said, and I will do it. I said, now it's up to you. Either you calm down and behave yourself while you're in here. I'm not going to let you mess up this class for everybody else. And that's exactly what I told him. he knocked it off. Because I meant exactly what I said.
Yeah.
But you know, a good example of when you don't correct somebody. I love Brother Shepherd, but he did not correct Levi. A good example of what happens when you don't correct somebody. Levi used to come out to shop when I was still working with my brother down there. He'd sometimes come and pick up parts or deliver parts or whatever. Come in the shop one day and I said, "How you doing, Levi?" And he always acted respectful around me. I never had any problems with him because he knew I wouldn't put up with a lot of stuff from him, you know. And he said, "Oh, I'm doing okay." He says, "I just got married." I said, "You did?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, congratulations." "Yeah," he said, "I just got married." I said, "Okay. Nice to see you, you know, see you later." And I guess about a month or two later, he come out. He stopped in there, picked up some parts. "How you doing, Levi?" "Oh, I'm doing good. I just got married." I said, "What?" I said, "I thought you just got married a couple months ago." "Oh, that one didn't work out, so I got married again."
Oh my God.
I'm thinking, Lord have mercy. He couldn't know that girl no time at all.
I know, he
just got married again, you know. I said, you know, but you know, and Miles used to come out and deliver parts, and me and him had a lot of conversation. I loved Miles, you know. He was a good brother in the Lord. But he had a real problem with his wife, and he didn't correct his kids or anything, you know. And you know, but that boy put him through a lot of stuff. He was always getting in a little trouble and stuff, you know. Lonnie one time when he was the mayor. He had mayor's court too.
Mm-hmm.
One time, Levi was doing something, and they brought Levi in there, you know, into the mayor's court, and Lonnie told him, as best I can remember the story, he told him that if he would go and apologize, I don't know if he got smart with a cop or did something, I can't remember exactly what it was, but anyway, he told him if he would go and straighten it up, you know, he would basically forgive it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He would not do it.
Mm-hmm.
He would not do it. And then Miles and them were mad at Lonnie for a long time.
But what did Lonnie do to
him? He gave him a fine, I think, some kind of fine or something. But they were mad. They were mad at him for a long time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know,
consequences of
if you don't correct them, society will.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Society don't love them.
Mm-hmm.
Society don't love them. You do. And I tell you, you know, what's the scripture say concerning us? Whom the Lord loveth, what
he
to do? He chastens.
Uh-huh.
And he not only chastens, but he scourges every son. It says, if you endure without chastisement, then what are you? It says you're bastards, not sons. Well, what's the difference between a bastard and a regular son? He don't have the father's name.
No father.
He don't inherit, you know. So, despise not thou the correction of the Lord when thou art rebuked with him. You know, he does rebuke you at times. He does chasten you at times. And when it happens, you yield to the chastisement and say, "Okay, sorry, Lord, I ain't going to do it no more." You know. But, you know.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right. I was thinking, I'm going to tell you a good story about Levi.
Mm-hmm.
We were at church camp, and we were packing up and everything. And you know, back then we used to take our tables and everything out there. Well, anyway, Levi sees I was packing up tables, so next thing I know, he's standing next to me. He said, "Hey, that'd go a lot easier if I helped you." I said, "Okay." I had four other guys sitting there, whose names I'm not mentioning, were watching me pack that truck,
mm-hmm.
and Leon became not a watcher, but a helper.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I basically always got along with him,
mm-hmm.
but how much I could brag on Levi, the Brother Shepherd, talking about making his day, because he didn't have a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, you know, everybody, because I had different types of people in class and stuff like that, I can remember taking in, I won't mention no names, taking in a troubled person that needed a lot of attention. Well, in Sunday school, I gave him a lot of attention. Then I got called out him being disruptive, me taking too much time from the other guy's kids than I was him. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, see, your kids don't need the attention. Mm-hmm. He does. And if I give it to him, he calms down. Now, does that mean I always cave to him? No, but I mean, I think God will give you a discerning spirit to treat people right, mm-hmm. to where you can be humble and broken and think they need love, mm-hmm. or they need a help. They don't need to be beat over or whatever.
Well, the thing about it is people need some guidelines and things. They have to have some guidelines in their life, but if they don't, then their whole life is chaotic. Mm-hmm. You know, I had Ricky, you know how Ricky was. Mm-hmm. Ricky ended up in prison and stuff later on.
That's who I was talking about.
I had Ricky and in when we went to camp 1 year, you know, they put him in my cabin. Mm-hmm. And they did that because they knew that I wouldn't let him get totally out of hand, you know. Mm-hmm. And anyway, if he got too bad, then once in a while I'd hold him out from swimming or something that day, you know. But he followed me around like a puppy dog, you know, because he wasn't getting correction at home.
Right.
When you correct people, they know you care. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, they know you care. If you just ignore it and let them do it, just go willy-nilly, they're going to continue to go willy-nilly. Now, I was going to tell you this before, but I went, one time me and Mark went somewhere, and Ray, her brother, was watching the kids. And Mark was probably, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 years old or something like that. He was little. He might have been 7, I don't know. He was pretty little. And I guess he was wrestling around with Ray, you know, a lot while we were gone or something. And we come in, and Margaret walked in the kitchen, and he roundhoused her and hit her in the stomach.
Oh, my.
Mark did.
Oh, my goodness.
Mark did. He was little. He'd been fighting with Ray, you know.
Yeah,
he roundhoused her and whacked her in the stomach. She slapped the fart out of him. I mean, she slapped his face. I mean, I'll tell you what. She slapped the fart out of him, buddy.
What'd he do?
He cried, and he never ever wrestled a hand to her again. But, you know, it wasn't with our kids. Well, you wait till your dad gets home, you know. I mean, she corrected them. But also, if they knew that if they didn't do what their mother told them to do, they was in big time trouble with me, because I wasn't going to put up with that for a second, and I wouldn't let them be disrespectful to her in any way, you know. And
he didn't know what to think. I
don't know what he was doing, but I guess he was just—he was fighting around with Ray, and he was all fired up, you know. I don't know how old he was.
I thought that was really a good reaction by Margaret.
She slapped him in the face. I mean, she slapped the fart out of him, buddy. He never ever did anything like that again after that. I mean, she slapped his face, buddy. He was little. I mean,
with that said,
guy.
Let's pray. Time to close.
Yeah.
Let me see here. Buddy, would you pray?
Father,
you. Father.
Thank you for this class, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Help us to really know your word by this class, where it enlightens us to your word, Father, to break it down to simple terms, Father, that we can understand.
Yes.
Father, we just pray that this service that's coming up will be a glory to your name and a praise to your name, Father. For we praise you for who you are, Father, and what you do. So, Father, just have your way in our life.
Amen.
We ask it all in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Okay, let's...